General, excuse me, CIA Director Petraeus stepping down. And so that's going to kind of be where we're going today. If I had to title this message, it would be Integrity Through Accountability. So if you want to give it a name, that's what it is, Integrity Through Accountability. Let me begin by telling you a short story. On February the 25th of 1995, the oldest bank in Britain, Barings, announced that it was seeking bankruptcy protection after losing nearly $1 billion. At the time that they went under, the bank was holding some $100 million worth of assets for the Queen of England. How did it happen? In late 1994, the chief trader at the Barings Singapore office began to bet on Japan's Nikkei market. We know that shortly after that, an earthquake hit Kobe, Japan. Disaster struck. The Nikkei plunged more than 1,000 points. Barings Bank lost a tremendous amount of money. But instead of cutting its losses, the Barings Singapore trader decided to double up. You know, it's kind of like going out, placing a bet on a hand of cards, and you recognize, I'm going to lose. So the next hand, you throw twice as much money on it. Hoping for the best, you should expect the least. What happened? He had expected that the Nikkei index would finally rebound. It did not. It continued to plummet. And in doing so, Barings Bank continued to lose money. The Barings Bank office in London decided to back this effort with over $900 million worth of their assets. However, they finally ran out of capital and had to file bankruptcy. After 233 years in existence, a bank was crippled by a 28-year-old stock trader. How did it happen? How does something like this happen that someone so young could cause such devastation? Well, it happened because that same trader was not only allowed to trade on the floor, but he was also working the back office in the books. If you do something and it causes a loss, but you're in charge of the books, how much are you going to be tempted to cover that up? That's like allowing a schoolboy who's getting bad grades to grade his own test. Does that make a lot of sense? How many of them do you think are going to be honest? Not very many. The temptation to cheat is overwhelming when you have no oversight, when you have no accountability, when you get to determine what is seen and what is not. And that's the issue we're going to talk about today, is accountability. This young man, at 28 years old, will go down in history as the one traitor who crippled a nation. When you take a bank that's been in existence for 233 years and it has to close its doors, it's not just you. It's not just your job. It's the job of every person who works for that organization. It's all those who had their investments in that organization. Hey, guess what? It doesn't say the queen got her $100 million worth of assets back. So it truly can cripple a nation. One person, because of a lack of oversight. Why do we need accountability? Truthfully, it protects us from ourselves. It protects us from ourselves. I don't know why this issue keeps coming up to me, other than maybe the news just keeps driving it home. We're all aware of CIA Director David Petraeus and how he's been brought down because of an illicit affair. Who is this man? Who is this man? Let me tell you about General David Petraeus. This man entered West Point in 1974. Immediately, they recognized him as a part of an elite group of young students, the overachievers, those who are going to do something in their lifetime. They called them the star men. That's what they did, is they saw this group of students and said, that's one of the star men. That's going to be one of the men who achieve. Now, in the military, a star represents the rank of general. While at West Point, David Petraeus was selected for the pre-medical curriculum. He said later on, I didn't really want to be a medical student. I just knew that that was the most difficult one to achieve. Out of a class of 1,000 students, 10 were selected for that program. He was one of them. He graduated with Distinguished Cadet Honors, which is only the top 5% of his class. Later, after graduation, he completed the infantryman course with Distinguished Honors. He followed that up with top honors at the U.S. Army Rangers School. I don't know if you all know about the Army Rangers, but they're some bad dudes. It's a tough school. 9 weeks in the swamps of Florida. And that's just the first phase. When he was completed that, he, as I said, he won top honors. He then continued to excel in his military career as well as academia. He continued his pursuit of education through a master's degree. Then he attended the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College, where he earned the George C. Marshall Award for the number one graduate of that class. He received a Ph.D. at Princeton University in 1987 with top honors. He was promoted to Brigadier General at the ripe age of 46. That's young. That is young. In 2009 and 2010, he fought and beat cancer. And after 37 years, he retired from the U.S. Army as a four-star general to immediately take a position as a CIA director in 2011. Folks, this career that this man had was the exception and not the rule. You know the bio. Now, the biography of this distinguished individual and his distinguished career. But what will he be known for? What will General or CIA Director David Petraeus be known for? Will it be all of his accomplishments? It'll be what? Say it, brother. His affair. It won't be all of his accomplishments, all of his successes. It will be his failures. What a waste. What a waste of such a tremendous career. And to know that he probably would have has been equally successful through the CIA. How did it happen? Did he wake up one day and say, you know, today I think I'm going to start an affair? No. You know, today I think I want to throw my history of my career away so that I'll be known as a complete failure. No. No, I don't believe that at all. But he did do it one step at a time, and he did it by simply saying, I'm not going to protect myself from myself. Human nature is going to pull out the worst in us, folks. Why do we need God so badly? If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need him. Because our human nature is flawed. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. And oh yeah, I know, we men, we like to put it on the women and say, well, you know, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden if it wasn't for you women. But if you go back and read it, he was right there with her. He was there too. It's almost kind of like, no, you go first and see if you get in trouble, and if you don't, then I'll do it too. He was there. She didn't have to call him over. He was right there. Let me tell you something. God came down to Adam and he said, Adam, I'm going to give you a woman who will worship the ground you walk on. I'm going to give you a woman that will cook and clean and do everything. All you can do all day long is hunt and fish and do whatever you want. He said, well, what's it going to cost me? He said, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. He said, what can I get for a rib? Okay, we'll go on from that. We set traps for ourselves. We truly do. By not putting safeguards in place so that we are accountable to someone. We walk in to one that's already been set for us, and that's the trap of pride. You know, I look through and all throughout time, when you get right down to it, it all comes down to pride, which was what the fall of Satan was. He got so full of himself, he got to believing he was equal to God. When a man commits an affair, he starts to believe in his mind that he deserves this other person, because after all, look at all the attention she's paying to him, and his wife doesn't give him that attention. When a man goes out and he embezzles money, he believes that he has a right because you know what? After all, he works hard for that money and he should be paid more. When a man goes out and does anything, and I say man, we use that term loosely, man or woman. When a person goes out and they commit sin in the eyes of God, it is because of pride. It's because of thinking that God doesn't have the best plan. We're going to create a situation for ourselves. And when that happens, we fail, and we fail miserably. I don't know of any drug addict who wakes up and says, you know, I think today I'm going to go out and destroy my life. I think today I'm going to go out and start taking these drugs that will control my life so that I will sell everything I own and stuff that's not even mine. I'm going to destroy my marriage, destroy my family. This sounds really good. I think I'll even lose my job because of those drugs. I think that sounds really cool. Of course not. How did it happen? One step at a time. One step. How does it happen? No accountability. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Still hear pages turning, so we're going to wait. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it. Think about what path are you on? What trail are you headed down? And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your feet from evil. I can think back as a young man, all the really bad choices I made. And it began with one choice. Hey, we're going to a party. Do you want to go? Sure. Bad choice number one. I could spend all day talking about my bad choices, but I'm not going to glorify the devil that way. Every bad choice I've made is because I started thinking about me. Not my wife, not my family, not my God. Me. Not my military career. It doesn't matter. Whatever. You can go through the list. It's because I was thinking of me. I was thinking about what I wanted or what I thought I wanted rather than what I should have been doing for him. What about when your friend comes up to you and says, man, you don't want to go down that road. Don't go there. What do we say? Brother, thank you so much. I needed that. No, we say, I don't need another mama. I got one. Get off my back. Don't we? But the fact is, apparently we do need another mama. Because our mama ain't there to help us at that time. So that's where that accountability partner, that friend says, brother, I love you enough. I'm not going to let you go down that road. I don't need another mama. Get away from me. No. No, you're not getting off that easy. And if I have to call you 72 times on your cell phone, I'll do it until it's full. But you're going to know I'm still bugging you. And I can guarantee you with every cell phone call I give you, I'm going to be praying for you. I love it when you pray for someone and later on they come up and go, what'd you do, sick God on me? Why? What happened? Every time I turn around, there's a doggone Christian there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He's hearing my prayers. Did I sick him on you? No, but I sure asked him to help you. When we begin to think outside this Word of God, we're opening up a portal for failure. We're opening up a portal for Satan's destruction. When we start thinking that we have the answers more than the Word of God, we're setting ourselves up for certain failure. Because we're no longer accountable to God, but we're only accountable to our own desires. We will fail. Proverbs 10 and 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. Why would you trust the devil who set you up to keep your secret? You heard me right. Secret. Your secret sin. Your sin that you did in secret. A secret. Pretty cool word, huh? I just made that up. Syncret. You think the devil's going to come and set you up and get you to do something because he presents it before you and you run right out there and you do it and you think he's going to sit there and go, okay, don't worry, it's just between us. We'll keep it quiet. Please. It's like going to your adversary in an election and going, look, dude, I really messed up. You know, I had that little embezzlement thing, you know, like 3 years ago, but hey, I ask everybody to forgive me and it's okay. Keep it quiet though, okay? Hello? I don't think so. If they don't build posters and put them out all over the billboards, or if they don't have yard signs made up, kind of like that one commercial where you have the office supply place that's making up signs. If you had an affair with so-and-so, you know, honk your horn. Yeah, that's kind of the thing. That's the way it is with the devil. If you go out and you sin, he'll make sure that it's exposed. You know what? I've taken my sin to God, and he has not once let the world know what I did. Proverbs 14 and 12. We all know this. We've heard it 1,000 times. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Look down at verse 14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Nothing Satan offers you is better than what God has for you. Nothing. And you know what? Time and time again, we go before the Lord and we ask his forgiveness and he forgives us and our sins are washed away. And then old Slewfoot comes up and tries to present that same sin to us. And we start looking at it going, well, you know, maybe I can get by with it this time. Don't do it. You can't get by with it. You will fail. And besides, what you're being offered is not better than what you've already got. God will pour his blessings from heaven, but you won't receive those blessings if you go out here and you follow the devil. Well, now, hold on, Brother Tim. I come to church on Sundays. So does the devil. He's riding on our backs. That's not going to get you anything. But when you come and you truly repent and ask God's forgiveness, he will forgive you. And see, God does not want us walking around like paupers. Paupers. P-A-U-P-E-R, not P-O-P-P-E-R. So, he doesn't want us walking around dirt poor, because it doesn't reflect good on him. He doesn't want us walking around driving a car that looks like it should have been condemned 35 years ago. But we also have to be realistic. I don't believe in prosperity preaching. If you come and you give in to this ministry, God will give you a new Cadillac. Please. How about managing your money better? How about, you're not going to like it. Pay your tithes. Well, it got quiet in here, didn't it? You get more discussion out of politics than you do tithes. You start talking about tithes, it gets quiet. You want God's blessings? Obey his word. We can make bad choices. Sister Jody will tell you. If I want a junk car, all I have to do is go pick it myself. I'll pick out the worst one on the lot. I think the best one I've gotten so far is that truck out there, and that's about it. Everything else I've ever bought used was junk. Be like, oh yeah, I want that one. Does it run? Sometimes. Yeah, I want it. It's only $1,400 above book price. Okay. I don't make good choices. You know what I have to do now? Pray about it first. When I got that truck, I actually said, Lord, if this is meant to be, then make it happen. And if it's not, shut that door. And I said, this is the price I'm looking for, and if they won't beat it, I don't need it. You know what? Man came back and he says, I don't know how, but they said okay. Cool. So I felt good about that. How many cars did I buy after I accepted Christ that were junk? Just simply because I wasn't asking. You know? Knock, knock, knock. Hello? Why is it taking you so long, Tim? Because I'm still trying to do it on my own. When we allow our feelings or desires to dictate our actions, we will fail. We absolutely will. Imagine one day Bill Gates wakes up, founder of Microsoft, wakes up and he says, you know, today I think I'm going to sell the company for $50. Or I know, I'll go in and I'll just withdraw all the money that's in the company till. Think it's going to work? No? Was his. He started the company. He's allowed to do what he wants, right? No, because it's a corporation. It's not his. There has to be an accountability. First off, if he decided to sell Microsoft for $50, I want to be first in line. But the fact is, he'll probably wind up in the psych ward somewhere because that's not logical. Second, his second choice would probably be when they release him from the psych ward, they'll probably put him in jail. Okay, you can't take what's not legally yours. As Christians, we didn't start this corporation. We didn't start this company. God did. But I chose to sign up to be an employee. And you know what? I want to be on the payroll. We have to be accountable to God first. We have to be accountable to God first. We have to be accountable to God first. Not our spouse, not our children, not even our employer. We have to be accountable to God first in all things. God will have us give an account of our actions. We then need to be accountable to our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what? If you have a brother or sister that you're close to, and I'm talking in Christ, and you have an accountability with one another, you know what? God will hold you accountable if you allow that brother or sister to do something that you know is against His word. And you go, well, brother, you know, I know you're doing that, and I know the Bible's against it, but God knows your heart. You know, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, I know the Bible's against it, but God knows my heart. God knows Satan's heart, too. That's why he's not there anymore. God knows my heart. Yeah. Yeah, he does. How about that brother or sister that you choose as your accountability partner, and they say, help Becky? Oh, I got to tell you about Susie. Oh, my gosh, girlfriend, you would not believe what I heard. Straight from her mouth. Only reason I'm telling you, of course, is so we can pray for her together. And she tells everybody in the church and everybody in the community what's going on. You know what? That's not what you're looking for. That's not what you're looking for in an accountability partner. You're looking for the one who would rather bite their tongue off than to say anything about you, because that's exactly what they're expecting you to do. Because see, when you're accountable to someone, they're accountable to you. And you tell me, it's just like what they say with the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You want to go spreading their gossip all over the place? Fine. You're saying, guess what? Everything you know about me, you can do the same thing. No, that's not what you want. When we're looking for brothers and sisters in Christ to be accountable to, choose wisely. How about don't go out and buy that used car that I did, but pray about it first. Let God bring them to you. We need to be accountable. If you think you're going to be the lone wolf who walks around and can withstand the wiles of the devil on your own, you're sadly mistaken. We all need to be accountable to someone. God first, we know that. God first. But we also know that we have to be accountable to one another. You need the kind of accountability partner that they're going to tell you the truth no matter what. Be careful. If you say, did these pants make my backside look big? They're going to say, oh, please. If you have to ask, you know the answer already. Don't make them lie. Stop it. Don't put them on the spot. That's just not right. We need the kind who's going to call us out. We need the kind who says, look, Brother Tim, you know, I heard what you said, and you shouldn't be speaking that way. You shouldn't say that kind of language. That's not godly. You need one who's going to say, you know what? Took a little bit too much liberty in telling that story. It's almost like you're glorifying the devil. Kind of like what I did here Wednesday night. Bible study. Started talking about things of the past. Back in the old days. And I started taking liberties and almost like I was enjoying it. And you know what? On the way home, the Lord said, why don't you get that excited about me? Why don't you get that excited when you talk about me? We sometimes, when we talk about the past, we give the devil way too much glory. We can sit there and we can lie and say, well, you know, I'm just telling how the Lord's delivered me. I'm just trying to give a testimony. No, you're not. You know what? God knows where I came from. All the details, He knows every one of them. You wanted to give a testimony? Tell how He saved you. If, however, God says, you've been there, He's going through it. Go talk to Him. Then you can use that experience. Then you can use that opportunity to glorify God. Say, hey, I do know where you've been. I've been there too. You have? I have. And God erased it all. But don't glorify the devil. Don't sit there and go, oh, I remember back in the day when I was a wild one. Woo! You're glorifying the devil. You need that brother who's going to say, Brother Tim, before you get into this, is this going to glorify God? Nope. Don't need to be telling it then, do you? Nope. Never mind. See, I don't want somebody around like that. And that is why we are not living godly lives in the church today. Because we don't want somebody who's going to infringe on our right to make our own decisions and sin like we want to. I mean, live like we want to. Ouch. No, that's not what that is. I think the batteries are going dead on this thing. So if it does, I'll try to pick up the other one. God wants us to live godly lives, to be examples. But we can't live like the devil Monday through Saturday and then come in and proclaim to be a child of God on Sunday. Pastor was standing at back of the church, thanking people for coming. One gentleman steps up and he said, "Well, thank you for coming. Are you a visitor here?" He said, "No, I've been coming here for 4 years." He said, "4 years? I don't remember ever seeing you." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Son, you need to come in and become a part of God's army." He said, "I'm already part of God's army." He said, "Really? Then why have we never seen you here?" "I'm part of the Secret Service." I'm afraid a lot of us are part of the Secret Service. But the service we're in is not God's. You know what? We have to hold ourselves accountable to God's teachings. We have to hold ourselves accountable to God first. And you know what? Hold ourselves accountable to someone. Someone who's going to be that accountability partner. Someone who, if you're messing up, they're going to tell you. We don't need yes men. We don't need yes women. "Well, do you think I should do this? I know it's kind of wrong, but you think I should?" "Well, yeah, if that's what you want." No, that's not what we need. We need someone who's going to get in our grill and say, "Look, that's wrong. You know it is. What are you doing?" We need someone who's going to be honest with us. "Excuse me. How can you agree with abortion and say you're a Christian? Thou shalt not kill." Pretty harsh, isn't it? To some, it really seems harsh, but it's the truth. God's word doesn't change. It's just how we try to twist it to fit our need. But he's not buying it. Our Christian walk will only succeed if we walk in righteousness before God and man. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 21. "Providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." Second Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 21. When we try to walk this walk alone, we're going to fail. It's just that simple. God gives each one of us talents. And even when we utilize these talents to the fullest and we succeed in certain areas of our life, as many do who do not know Christ, there's still a shortcoming there, and they will fail. Because when they close their eyes for the last time, and they do not know Jesus Christ, they will give an accounting of their life. Anything that we achieve in this life should be God's glory. It should be for the glory of God alone. Now, how many of us like to go out and go, "You know, today we're playing the number one team, and you know what? I think we can take them. But today, let's see how bad we can lose." Nobody's going to do that. We all want to be the best. But let us be the best and glorify God in doing it. I got so wrapped up in a church softball league that I made a comment to the umpire and had to go apologize to him afterwards. He laughed at me. He said, "That's okay. I've heard worse than that." I said, "Not out of me. And you won't hear that again, and I apologize." No, I didn't curse him. But I didn't like his call. Boy, that really glorified God, didn't it? You know what? I had one of my church members there, one of my teammates, who said, "You know, you shouldn't have said that." What do you think I thought about for the next six innings? I thought about that comment. When it was over, I went in and I said, look, Blue, that's what you call your uncle. I said, I apologize for my comment. I was out of line. He said, don't worry about it. I said, I do worry about it. Please forgive me. I was wrong. I said, you're out here doing the best you can. And you're blind! No, I'm just kidding. I just say that. But I said, you're doing the best you can. It woke people up. Come on. But I said, you don't need my criticism because I'm not in your shoes. I don't know how difficult it is. I was wrong. And he said, you know what? That's something that doesn't happen every day. I said, please forgive me. Boy, that ate me up. That ate me up. And every inning I was like, I'm going to say something now. I'm going to say something to him now. Well, I never did. And finally, at the end of the game, it was kind of like God sitting there going, hello, remember me? Remember? The one who's kind of putting that conviction on you right now? You going to do it or not? Yes. You know what? That weight was lifted off of me when I asked for his forgiveness and I apologized to him. But what if that teammate said, you know what, he deserved it. That was a nasty call. He was stupid. I might have just walked on out of that game and never apologized to that man. We will be held accountable for our actions, and we will be held accountable for our actions on how we use the Word of God. Do we take this Word of God? Let me use you again, Cole. Do we take the Word of God and we say, brother, let me show you something. I know right now you're hurting, but let me show you something. Or do we take it like this and go, if you don't treat me the way that Jesus treats the church, and we use it like a club and beat each other over the head with it. Woman, you better submit to me. The Bible says so. If nothing else, it's animated. But I hope you're getting something out of it. How we use the Word of God is just as important as our actions. Are we going to take this Word of God and we're going to use it as a club, or we're going to use it as something that heals? Are we going to sit there and say, brother, you know, I've been watching you, and I know you profess Christ, but you ain't even saved. You're going to bust the gates of hell wide open. I can tell it. Or are you going to say, brother, your actions don't line up with your words. I love you. I don't know you. But I want to tell you, please don't profess to be a Christian if you're not going to walk the walk. I'm praying for you. If there's something I can do to help you, let me know. I had a man who used to tell me when I was stationed in Georgia, he was a good Christian man. And he'd tell me how I needed Jesus in my life. And see, I was dabbling with Jesus. I was using Santa Jesus when I needed him. Oh, Jesus, help me. Thank you. And off I'd go. He'd answer my prayers and off I'd go. I'd go right back the way I was before. Sent to Jesus. Here's my shopping list. Thank you. But this man was a godly man. And he said, Tim, that's not going to hold out. There's going to be a day of reckoning. You better be right. Because you know what? If you aren't, you're going to go to hell. You know what my smart aleck remark was? That's okay, Mike. I like the heat. And he looked me right in the eyes and he said, you talk like a fool. I want to tell you something. It was a long time before I accepted Christ, but I never forgot what he said. There's something that stuck right there. You talk like a fool. If we even had a clue what hell was like, we'd be so busy out there getting people saved, we didn't have time for television. We didn't have time for football. If we only knew. And how about that one? Well, God knows your heart. He knows your heart. Yeah, he does. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 talks about that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Yeah, you're right. God knows our heart. He knows it's deceitfully wicked. If we're to grow in Christ, we need someone to be accountable to. God first, an accountability partner second. Make no mistake about this. Hear this, listen. Wake up. Do not let your accountability partner be of the opposite sex. That's like digging a hole and then being confused and falling in it yourself. Don't do it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to feel compassion for that person's plight. And then they're going to tell you, but you know what? My husband doesn't show me the attention that you do. Next thing you know, you're going to say, how in the world did this happen? One step at a time. And you walked right into it. And you woke up one day and went, what did I do? Let's close that because it makes me feel so guilty. No, you can't do that. But it happens. Make sure that accountability partner is someone you trust. Someone who has exemplified Christ in their own life. And someone that you know is not going to be a yes man, but they're going to get in your grill if you do something wrong. And in like fashion, guess what? That does not mean, well, I have to have been established in Christ for 22 years or more. No. You can be established in Christ for 6 months if you're walking the walk. You can say, hey, Pastor Tim, what are you doing, man? That's wrong. You know you ought not be acting that way. Would you get so upset when that person cut you off? Well, does that exemplify Christ? Or you can do it like my wife. Way to go, Pastor. Ooh, gosh, she knows which button to push. I know my weakness. That's why I won't put it on there. We need someone who's going to be honest with us, though, and we need to be honest to others. Proverbs 27, 17 is one of my favorite verses. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I give you permission. You see me acting a fool, you come correct me. You say, well, I'm of the opposite sex. Bring your husband with you or bring two women with you and say, Pastor, we'd like to talk to you. What'd I do? Because you'll get this right here. Oh. Jody says, put some hands on the hips. I want to talk to you. Oh, I know I did something wrong. So if you see me doing something wrong, you come and confront me. It's your responsibility. But do it in a public place. Do it in the church. Call me on the phone and say, Pastor, can I talk to you? Sure. I saw you the other day driving through town, and that person stopped in front of you, And then they backed up and you had to back up and it really made a mess in traffic? Yeah. Well, I don't know what you were saying, but you were pretty upset. And it sure didn't look like it was glorifying God.
Okay.
You have a responsibility. Every one of you do. Not just to me, but to everybody else in this church as well. But you will pick that one person, or God will pick them for you, in which you will tell them anything and they will tell you. And it will be between the two of you and God. That is a true accountability partner. We must sharpen each other, because right now the church is dull. Oh, we want to see the miracles of God. We just don't want to have to do anything for it. You want to see the miracles of God? Draw closer to Him. Draw away from those things that draw you away from God. Call on the power that we've been given. We want to see the miracles? Do things that cause the miracles. Do you have someone that you're accountable to? You know what? I do love to hear people say my accountability partner is my spouse. But I think there are actually times where you need someone else. Pray about it. If your accountability partner, you go to them and say, right now, the wife and I are having problems. You need to dump her. Get you a new accountability partner that day. If the counsel you're getting from your accountability partner is ungodly, walk away. Thank them and go on. Why? They're not there to take the edge as it begins to sharpen and hit it on a rock to dull it back down. That's not their job. Their job is there to say, Brother Tim, you drive too fast. You get angry in traffic. You really need to watch how you talk about your old life. That's not glorifying God. Sharpen me up. Because it reflects on you. It reflects on each one of us. But most of all, it reflects on God. If we were made in the image of God, am I acting that way? Well, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. I hate that bumper sticker. I really do. It's like it's a free pass to sin. And you're right. We're not perfect. But we should be striving to be more like Christ and less like us. I truly hope that you got something out of this sermon today. We look across America today and we see so many people who had amazing careers that are cut short due to moral failures, whether that is through embezzlement, whether that is through adultery, whatever the case may be. And you think, where are the leaders? Guess what? Look around here. Look, I want you to look. Turn and look at the other people. Some of you don't even know this side exists, so look over here for a second. Y'all look back over there. And that way you can go, my God, did you see what she was wearing? No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? Here's our leaders right here. Here's the leaders of the church right here. Here's the leaders of this country right here. Are you going to be another failure? Or are you going to call on the Lord first and call on that accountability partner to keep you straight? Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for all the times that I have fallen hard, and you still forgave me. Time and again, you reach down and you lift me up, and you dust me off and you set me back on the path. I'm asking you today, Lord, when we leave this place, let us not turn to the right or the left on this path, but let us keep our sights on you, focused on you, to walk the path you have placed us on. I ask for each and every person who is here today, Lord, that you will give them someone that they can count on to be their accountability partner. For everyone today who is sitting here who does not have an accountability partner, I ask right now that you put someone in their mind. Put someone in their thought right now. Right now. That, Lord, no longer do we walk around as a blemished, disgraced church. That, Lord, we will sharpen ourselves and sharpen each other to become the spear of the church. To become that church that battles for what is right. To become the church that glorifies God. Help us, Lord. Show us today our accountability partner and help us to be an honest accountability partner to someone else. We praise you and we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the changes you're making in the hearts and the minds of the people of this nation. We know something great is about to happen. Shake this world, Lord. Shake this world and return us back to our roots in Jesus Christ. Before I end this, I'm going to simply ask, is there anyone who feels that they don't know Jesus Christ, that they need him in their life, they have not accepted Christ? Anyone? Now, some of you may say, why are you asking this question? You know who we are. It's the same crowd, because you know what? If I don't, and there's one person, then their blood could be on my hands. God, touch this church. Light the fire on them. Bring us back to life, Lord. Help us to be what we're supposed to be. Is there anyone here today who needs special prayer? Come on up here, Noah. Prayer team, I'd like you to come forth at this time. Prayer force. Anyone else who has need of special prayer today? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close this service out. Please sit quietly, make your way to the rear of the church. We're going to continue to pray. If you have special need you want to pray, please come to the altar and do so. Or you can pray right where you are. Thank you for coming. Please don't forget our service next week. And don't forget the community service tonight at Trinity United Methodist at 6 p.m. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. God bless.